since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1238. This is your host, Danny Pena. And guys, this is our 18th season here. Happy New Year, everyone. And we have the whole crew here for this episode, the first episode of 2023. Let's start with Peter. What's up, Pete?
What's up? How you doing? Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Welcome back.
Yeah, man. How was the holiday vacation and New Year's for you?
Sucked. It was horrible. I tore my meniscus in my right knee, so I'm walking around with crutches and find out next week if I need surgery or not. But yeah, I mean, I've spent the better part of the last 2 weeks on vacation, sitting right back there watching TV, really unable to really do anything. But you know, I'm alive, thankful for health. Thankful I'm able to communicate, talk with friends and family throughout the holiday seasons and stuff like that. So it is what it is, you know, just dealing with getting old.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And hopefully you get well pretty soon, man.
Fingers crossed. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, we have Paris here. What's going on, Paris? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning. Myself, just took it easy during the holidays, man. I actually didn't play any games at all. I just kind of decoupled from everything. Just watched a lot of TV shows and movies. Took a road trip to Arizona. Got to see Tom Brady on Christmas Day with my son. And that was really about it, man. So, you know, just got refreshed going here into 2023. Think it's going to be a pretty big year for gaming. So really excited about that.
Yeah, we're going to have a great conversation of games that we're very excited about coming out this year. I think it's going to be a very, very big year in gaming too, Paris. I totally agree with you, man. So, yeah, everyone, you know, first of all, shout out to everyone that's been, you know, listening to GTR. This is, again, our 18th season. Next month, we're turning 18 years old, man. Wild, man. So February 25th. Of next month, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. So head over right now to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Make sure to review the show, subscribe, follow us, and also share the content to everyone out there, man. It will help us out a lot. And if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a couple of things we're going to talk about for this episode. Also, last month during the Game Awards, I recorded an interview with the 505 Games team. I got to see the trailer before the premiere of Crime Boss Rocky City. Stay tuned for that. That game looks pretty cool to me. It has, you know, Chuck Norris, Danny Trejo, a bunch of people from even Vanilla Ice, bunch of celebs from like the 90s. It's like a mix of GTA, Far Cry / Payday. That's what it reminds me of. So I was telling Paris when we were sitting down at the awards, I was like, yo, Paris, is this game coming out? They're going to show it. It looks pretty, really cool. Can't wait for you to check it out. And Paris, what are your thoughts when you got to see the trailer of Crime Boss?
I think it looks interesting. It looks like we're getting this all-star cast of, and I don't want to say B-level actors, but you get my point. It's a lot of different actors that we've seen in various different action movies and things, you know, from the 80s, 90s and into the 2000s that are basically all coming together to be in this game. And it just looks like it's going to be fun. So it looks like, you know, if it comes in very polished and everything, I think it can be a very fun game to play. You know what I mean? It's not going to win Game of the Year or anything like that, but it looks fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks fun. It looks fun. So yeah, stay tuned. We're gonna play that interview here on this episode. So all right, so let's start with the conversation, man. 2023. It's going to be a big year for gamers. Big year. Lots of games that were supposed to come out last year got delayed for this year. And I think the closest year that I can think of that it's been nonstop great content was 2007. Really hard year to beat, actually. So do you guys think that this year, 2023, will be close or even better than compared to 2007 with all these releases that's coming out soon? Who would like to answer that question first? Want to go first, Pete?
Sure.
You?
I mean, I'll go first. Look, if everything hits, right, this could be one of the more complete years in gaming. Notice I'll say I said more, not most complete. Everything that I've been looking at from titles, from confirmed, announced, things that we know that are coming out in 2023, even some that have been announced but without a confirmed date. If everything hits, or for the most part, if 75 to 80% of this group hits, like there's a strong case that you could compare it to like the 1998-2007 timeframe, right? I've got like 32 games on my list right now of either confirmed or announced for this year. And with only like 11 and a half months left, we're looking at an extremely strong slate of games for the whole calendar year. Let's go like in calendar order. I'm probably going to kill a lot of people's shines, but I've got this list, so we're going to go through it. Forspoken at the end of January, Dead Space Remix, Hogwarts Legacy, Kerbal Space Program 2, Octopath Traveler 2, Destiny 2 Lightfall, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, System Shock Remake, Legend of Zelda, Suicide Squad, Diablo 4, Redfield, Starfield, or I'm sorry, Redfall, Starfield, Spider-Man. Shut up.
What the hell is Redfield?
It's my list.
Help.
Redfall, Starfield, Spider-Man 2, and Stalker. Those are the games known with a confirmed date in 2023. The other ones include Alan Wake 2, Armored Core 6, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Forza Motorsport 8, Hollow Knight Silksong, which is one of my like sleeper hits. This game is going to be a banger. Lies of P, Minecraft Legends, Payday 3, Replaced. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think it's Shkim or Shim. It's like, think of it like a Frogger, but you can only move within the shadows of the game. And there's like, things will be moving and like you can jump into the shadow, but you can't jump into the light part. Wolf Among Us 2, Warhammer 40K's got two games coming out. And then, you know, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty, Frostpunk 2, Hades 2, Layers of Fear. That list alone gives me anxiety because there's no way with my personal and work schedule that I'm going to be able to touch every one of those games. And those are games that I want to play, right? There's other games on there. Final Fantasy, I know, is one of Danny's favorites, but, you know, I'm not a big fan of it. But those are all games that I have a desire to play. And I don't see how, where I'm going to find time in my personal schedule to do this. I got to win a lottery. That's the only way.
And then you have plenty of time to play games.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for Alan Wake too, man. I think that's like my number one game right now for me. Cause I love Alan Wake, love the first game. And also Control. Love Control. It was amazing. So, but yeah, man, like, I think the beginning of the year is going to be very, very interesting, man. Like, I know you mentioned Forspoken. I totally forgot about that game. I totally forgot about it. It looks interesting. I don't know if that's something that I would like to play, but Starfield for sure. I know I mentioned Hades 2. Crime Boss, I know that game is coming out sometime early this year. I'm trying to think of any other games that most likely will come out this year. I know there's going to be a lot of independent games too that's coming out. I think Paris, was it the one that we got to see at the Game Awards? Was that Replaced?
Yeah.
Replaced, right?
That's on my list. Yeah, that's on my list. Yeah. It's an insane list of games. And just think about it. If 75... Look, honestly, if 50% of that list hits, it's a banger of a year. If 75% of that list hits... strong contention for 97, 2008, you know, winner. if more than 75% of this list is a banger hit, that's it. You have to really consider 2023 as the year, as the new top of, you know, bar setter for year, you know, game of year, you know, like game, you know, year of gaming or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And Spider-Man 2, that's another one that I'm very excited to play this year too, man, because I love the previous game, man. So look, overall, it's going to be a great year for gaming. I'm excited. Now, is this something that I'm going to play every single game? I'm going to try, but it's going to be pretty hard, man, especially with our schedule, you know, being super busy and everything. Like this past, during the vacation, holiday vacation, I didn't really play anything. I was just, I think maybe once I played Vampire Survivors, like very quick, but I was just taking a long, long break, man. And it felt relaxing, but I'm recharged and I'm ready to start 2023 strong, playing all these games that's coming out this year, man. So yeah, fingers crossed. Hopefully I could do it, man. Also, Diablo, isn't Diablo 4? Is this year?
June 6th. It's I'm looking at it dead straight on my list. It's just before, you know, it's right after Suicide Squad.
Oh my God, Suicide Squad. That's another one I totally forgot about. Holy.
I'm telling you, I'll send you this list just so you can look at it and cry, because our calendars, like, I don't know. I'm hoping 50% of this list is playable on the Switch or on the Steam Deck, so I can be portable and play these when I'm not at home, just so I can hope to catch up.
Now, what about Skull and Bones, Pete? Are you going to give it a chance to play that game or not? That's also this year.
It's on honestly, I was looking, I was making this list and I was like, damn it, I forgot to put Skull and Bones. And I was like, you
know, yeah.
Again, I did not. Did you? Yeah. I'll show my screen right now. It's not on my list. but I mean, what do you do, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's something to think about, dude. It's a lot of good quality Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I mean, if you want to go back to like you were talking about indie games, Kerbal Space Program 2, KSP, the first one is like one of the most popular games on Steam. So now finally, you know, that KSP 2 is coming out, Octopath Traveler 2, another game that, you know, has a really strong following. And now we finally get a sequel to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what about Cyberpunk, the expansion that's coming out too?
Yeah. I mean, there's no date.
That's another one.
There's no date to
it. There's no date. Yeah. There's no date for that.
Frostpunk 2, which was one of my game of the years, you know, before I left the States. Hades 2 was announced at the Game Awards. Dude, there's just so many. Like, so Warhammer 40K has two games coming out. One's called Bolt Gun. It's supposed, they're both coming out this year. Bolt Gun, think of it as like a retro FPS set in the, you know, Warhammer 40K universe, but looks and plays like a pixelated Unreal Doom from back in the days. So, you know, you're playing Warhammer 40K Space Marine, but it looks like Unreal Doom. And then Space Marine 2 is coming out, which came out, you know, I think it was 2017, 2018, which is, you know, a third person Warhammer 40K just shooter. You know, you're just walking in with the giant mech suits, and you're just laying waste to enemies. And that ties in almost perfectly with the announcement from the holidays that Henry Cavill, no longer Superman now, but is going to now take the reins of producing, you know, and bringing Warhammer 40K to the TV, you know, to the screens. It's exciting time, man. We as gamers are starting to see, you know, finally our, you know, the things that we love and enjoy on the big screen. You know, comics was one thing. It's going to be a struggle, because I don't know if video games translates as well to the big screen, whether it be Netflix, whether it be the movie theaters, etc. But it's an exciting time to be a gamer.
And I know Paris been patiently waiting to say something. He's been kind of quiet here. So Paris, feel free to continue the conversation. Is there any games that you're excited about for this year or what?
Oh yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, yeah, there's a ton. I mean, Pete has obviously gone down that entire list. Just off the top of my head, just not in any particular order or preference, but you know, Spider-Man 2 is going to be huge this year. Really can't wait to be able to play that. Obviously, you know, we've talked so much about Starfield. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting hands on with that and see if it can live up to, you know, the potential of what we all think that game can be, coming from Todd Howard, you know, first new IP from Bethesda in 20 plus years. So really excited to see that, that new information that we just got on Redfall. as an example, really has me intrigued as to what that's going to be. Throwing the arcane DNA that we've seen with Prey and the Dishonored games, even more recently here with Deathloop. And they're already letting us know this is not just a Left 4 Dead clone. This is more Far Cry than it is anything else. So I'm very interested to see what that's going to be. On the indie scene, you know, like you talk about Replaced, that is something that has been on my radar the past couple years. I kind of go back and forth with the devs on Twitter every now and again about that game, because I'm very excited for that. So I can't wait for that to come out. So we're looking forward to that. You already talked about Phantom Liberty coming for the Cyberpunk expansion. I'm very hopeful for that, being able to finally get Cyberpunk 2077 to what its potential could have been when we saw that demo all the way back in 2018. God, I'm trying to think what else that is on my radar. I'm super excited for Minecraft Legends is actually one I'm that's really one, looking forward to, because it's something I know my kids and I are going to play together. So I'm looking forward to that. Even though it's not been announced yet, I do believe this is a year that we're going to get Hellblade 2. So I'm looking forward to that. Obviously goes without saying Zelda. I mean, duh, of course, everyone's going to be excited for that. You know, Jedi Survivor, as Pete talked about as well. Really looking forward to that. But, you know, the list could go on and on. But the whole point of all these games that we're talking about is, you know, like we bring up 2007. When you think about Mario Galaxy, you think about the Orange Box. You think about Uncharted was that year. Mass Effect was that year. God, what else am I missing? There's so many games.
Modern Warfare?
Was yes, Modern Warfare,
Crisis, yeah, yes, Mass Effect, Half-Life yeah. 2, Super Mario Galaxy.
Well, that's Bioshock. Why I said the Orange Box, Pete. It's all in there because Portal okay, was a part fine. Of the Orange Box. But anyways, point I'm making is, while you were talking, I went and looked at 1998, which is the other comparable year. The original Half-Life came out that year. Ocarina of Time was that year. Banjo-Kazooie was that year. Resident Evil 2 was that year. It's just like, I mean, if you can live up to that pedigree, come with 2023 when we think 07 and we think 98, I mean, those are just two of the greatest gaming years we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And to your point, when we list all these games, this has that potential to be that great. Now, it all comes down to this. Game's got to be good. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, bottom line, if the games are great, then we're going to be talking about 2023 in that glowing light, you know, a decade from now. But if the games aren't good, like we talk about Starfield, we don't know if it's good. We have no idea.
Yeah. Why are we so hype about it?
Because of the people that are making it. So
and the potential. And
you're going on the potential of the ambition of what a Todd Howard led Bethesda Western RPG in space could be. That's what makes it exciting. But it has to live up to that. We obviously know what Bethesda's reputation has been over the past decade or so with releasing buggy games. I think this is why it got delayed, because they're trying to make sure that this is as polished of an experience as it can possibly be coming out of the gate. Right. So we'll see. We obviously see. We don't know if Redfall is going to be good. Hell, as much as we talk about Spider-Man 2, why are we excited for Spider-Man 2? Because we know the first one was great. We know Miles Morales was great. And it's Insomniac. That's why you're excited for it. Look, I'll keep it real. With Phantom Liberty from CD Projekt Red, they lost some of that trust with the way they launched Cyberpunk. Now, they've kind of sort of made up for it here with some of the improvements that they've made with Cyberpunk 2077. But look how long it took them to get the game to that state. So you would hope when we get into Phantom Liberty here, that does not happen again. But I am excited for it. And the fact that it's going to be a next gen only release. So we don't have to worry about the Xbox One or the PS4 holding it back from a technical standpoint. So, I mean, look. There's a lot of exciting games that are going to be coming out this year. This is kind of the, all right, everyone's going to catch up from the pandemic year. So a lot of these games that probably should have been coming out over the past couple of years, they're all getting thrown into 2023. And to the whole point, not everything is going to come out this year. Something's going to get delayed. I'll bet money on that. Something we are highly anticipating will not make it this year. Because delays happen, and it's for the greater good of the game when they do happen. So it's understood, you know, and acceptable when these things happen. But there are certain games that better come out this year. Starfield better happen this year for the sake of Xbox. And I don't know if we transition to another topic, but for the sake of Xbox Game Studios and just the lack of first-person games they've had coming out over the past few years, they got a hit. Starfield has to come out. Redfall has to come out. Forza has to come out. That was another one we talked about. Forza Motorsport. Looking forward to that. That has to come out, right? I mean, look, if Hellblade 2 doesn't make it this year, fine. But the ones that have, we have already known that should be out that got delayed don't come out this year. That'll be disappointing. And they better be good. You know, look, like it or not, there's a lot of pressure on Xbox Game Studios in 2023. They have to come out with compelling, exciting games that people want to play this year. Because there's no more excuses. I mean, you know, you can console war and fuss about all that stuff all you want, but PlayStation has put out games over the past few years that have been that people want to play. Xbox has not. That's just a fact. So this is the year that they need to do that.
Paris, I was going to ask you a question because I honestly thought you were going to mention this because I think you posted about this online.
Stop reading my tweets. Stop putting my business out there.
Hey, it's public. It's public knowledge, so I don't care. you didn't mention anything about PlayStation VR 2.
I didn't know I needed to. I didn't know
but
that
it's
was
coming
my
out
job.
This year.
Why is that my
it's
job?
It's coming out this year.
Why didn't
it's
you bring it up? Year. Why didn't Pete bring it up?
Did.
Why is it my
I
job to
did.
Bring it up?
Because that's something that you pre-order, sir.
Wow. Again, get out of my pockets. Get out of my wallet. Okay. Stop worrying about what I do. Okay.
But
you're right. No, you're right though. No, I actually did slip my mind. I mean, yeah, I did pre-order PlayStation VR 2, and people that have listened to the show for years have known that I've held off on VR forever because I was like, I want to wait until a 2.0 product comes out. I was going to get the Valve Index. Pandemic happened. I was like, let me save my money just in case. So I didn't get it. And now that VR2 is coming, I think this is the one that I'll jump on board with. Now, they've still not officially said Half-Life Alyx is coming to VR2. I hope it does, because that is the kind of the crown jewel game for VR. But this Horizon Call of the Mountain does look interesting to me. That'll for sure be something I get day one at launch to be able to play. So again, it's look, I'm not expecting, my expectations are in check for VR. I'm not expecting these mind blowing experiences day one that, yep, I'm just playing all VR games from now on. I think there'll be a few interesting titles that come to VR that for me will feel worth the investment of getting the hardware. So, you know, I can start dipping my toe into VR. So like I said, Call of Mountain's going to be one. Knock on wood, Half-Life Alyx is something that does come to the platform. I know they just said Beat Saber is also coming to VR too. So I'll look forward to grabbing that. And then obviously, you know, throughout the year, I'm sure there'll be other announcements and releases of games that'll be coming to that platform that'll interest me. Not everything in VR, it looks interesting to me. Some things do, some things don't. So we'll see. But again, just adding on to the year of 2023, this is another exciting thing, you know, to look forward to.
Yeah, just let us know your thoughts once you get hands on, because I'm very curious to see how this is going to work out or not. Like the whole VR, like I just can't play VR games. I get so sick, motion sickness so quickly, man, you know, but
I still remember Paris's experience, us watching him play Star Trek at E3.
Oh, he loved it. He loved it. I remember that.
Exactly. Trust me, I'm not against VR. Like I remember playing Minecraft VR at that infamous 2016 spring showcase. And I was like, I really enjoyed that experience. Just my thing has always been, I knew the initial hardware wasn't going to be, I knew to wait. Like, all right, here's the initial hardware. I want to see what the next version of the hardware is going to be, because there's going to be a lot of lessons learned from the 1.0 product. And this is where, when I look at the specs of VR2, I still think Valve Index is the superior VR, you know, even though the hardware is a few years old now compared to VR2. But I think VR2 and obviously the Meta Quest and all that kind of stuff is the more consumer friendly product that makes a lot more sense. I think VR2, just having one cable to the PS5, is more desirable than what the hell you'd have to do to set up a Valve Index. But it's getting there. And like I said, I think I'm willing to spend my money on that investment. I know even at $549.99, it's pricey. But I'm willing to make that investment on this initially so that I can get into the world of VR. And then look, maybe VR2 isn't the the last hard VR hardware again. I know it won't be. There'll be something even better that comes out, but at least now I've invested into it. I understand VR. I get the controls, and you know, I've started to have experiences in those worlds. You know, mm-hmm. I'm looking at it more long term. You know, picking it up here at launch, but yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that next month.
Yeah, man. All right. So is that not going to be in stores, right? It's just you have to order online, similar to like Steam Deck.
You got to get it direct from PlayStation right now. I would imagine this is probably just early launch stuff. I would imagine at some point we eventually do see it in retail stores. I would probably, if I had to guess, I would probably say by the end of this year, maybe.
Okay. All right. So another topic that people have been posting a lot, even during the holidays, is the rumor that Xbox might have a showcase event sometime early this year. Now the conversation started back in December. We went to the Game Awards and I was having this conversation with Paris. We were like, yo, when Xbox is going to show something, man? They didn't show anything at the awards. So a lot of people weren't happy at all. There was some articles about it too, etc. It was like the conversation was really, really out there about it. So now I think it was Aaron Greenberg a day or two after that mentioned that you're going to hear from us. It's all about timing. You're going to hear from us very, very soon. So, and that's when rumors been starting about that we might see an event sometime early this year. Now, looking back since I've been covering Xbox, I've never seen a showcase this early for the company. It's always been like they might have like smaller things, like a smaller event for like a spring showcase, right? You go and play these games and talk about it for your community and everything like that. I've seen that. Or the earliest will be May before E3. But early spring, Paris, Pete, what do you guys think? This is something that you think this would be the right move for Xbox? They've been kind of quiet since the last showcase. So let's go with you, Paris. What do you think?
I would definitely like to see Xbox have some type of early showcase/event to kind of reset the deck for 2023. I mean, it just goes back to our last episode before we went on holiday break. I mean, I think it's needed. I think, you know, to reinstill some faith into their community that these games are coming. Here are release dates that you can expect. You told us, you know, about 9 months ago, here's what you can expect over the next 12 months. Now let's start delivering on that promise of when these games are coming out. You know, but there's obviously a bunch of rumors, you know, as far as like when Redfall is going to come out. You know, there's been some rumors about Starfield being in a good state playable wise, things like that. So that's all fine and dandy, you know, no old rumor mill, but you know, let's make it official. Have some type of event, you know, where now we have these release dates, we know when these games are coming out. And I just think it reinstills some faith in the community and it just overall gets people excited for these games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I wonder if it makes sense for Xbox to do like the return of Inside Xbox or do it once in a while type event and that's it. Because the thing is, I really didn't like Inside Xbox. Or sometimes it was like a hit or miss. Sometimes it could be really good or it could be really, really bad. What about you, Pete? Like your thoughts? Do you think it would be it makes sense for that to happen? Because we've been seeing a lot of conversation about this. Actually, last night I watched a video from Rand. Shout out to him and Jez. They posted a video about the rumors and everything. I think it would be cool, in my opinion, if it happens or not. But your thoughts?
I mean, if it's true, is this why they didn't show anything at the Game Awards? I mean, some are saying not to expect a full E3 showcase style thing, but rather like a Nintendo Direct. I think that came from Jez Corden. My concern, I think it's echoed across us, and we've all talked about this in the past, is as we cross this 2023 timeline, is the promise of an announcement versus delivery, and the current track record isn't really the greatest. If you go back to like 2016 era, you had Scalebound announced, canceled. Halo Infinite 2017, released in 2021, but not to the level that we've come to expect in the past with that title. Crackdown 3 2014, released in 2019, disappointment. But with all of the bad, you also have to highlight the good. Sea of Thieves, although launched and it was okay, it is now where it needs to be. Ori and the Blind Forest, Gears of War 4 and 5, Forza Horizon 4 and 5, Psychonauts, The Ascent, you know, even, you know, as recent as those. So they have done some good. You know, I would expect to see, as Paris mentioned, you know, Redfall, Starfield, Forza. I think Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga needs to be included as well. Ninja Theory seems to have gone silent ever since, like, the Game Awards in 2021. And it's, you know, is that enough to satisfy Xbox fans? Go ahead, Paris.
I disagree on Hellblade 2 needing to be at something this early. I think they can wait until whatever the June, you know, E3 showcase is going to be. Again, my preference, just giving my opinion, focus on the things that you've already announced. Show me Forza release date. Show me Starfield release date. Show me Redfall release date. Minecraft Legends release date. Obviously, these third party partnerships that they've already done. Release date. Again, we talk about Replaced as an example, because that's going to be day one on Game Pass. You can have them there, right? Show that. Stalker 2, that's another one. You can have that there, because, you know, it looks like that game is coming in 2023. So I think just doing that now is enough. The rest of the stuff that you've not announced, hold that to June. Hold it till June. Put it out then. I mean, obviously, Jeff Grubb had a rumor about Tango. Tango Works? Is that how you say your name?
Tango Gameworks or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, Tango Works. Anyways, them potentially having a Pentiment level game. In other words, a smaller game, but them having a game that could potentially be there. Things like that. I think the big, all right, here's our holiday lineup. You could hold that till June. You don't necessarily have to show that this year, but things that are coming before June, make whatever this is going to be about that. That's what I personally would do.
Does that satisfy the masses, though?
Yeah, because you're putting release dates on it. How would it? Exactly. If I know absolutely nothing. But if you told me, all right, here's Forza Motorsport. You showed it to me coming I'm just picking random dates, March 15th. Then you showed me Redfall and some co-op things. It looks great. It's coming May 5th. And then you showed me Starfield. Todd Howard closes it out. Some big space battle with pirates and all this stuff. And you're like, oh, my God. And then the last thing you see is 3/23/23 or some nonsense like that. Right. You get my point. I'm good. That's all. Because now these are games that I know I'm going to be playing within the next few months on the platform. I think that should satisfy people. Look, if that doesn't satisfy you, nothing will. I don't need to know when Perfect Dark and Avowed and Fable and all these things are coming out, because we know those are far out. So focus on the now. Come with your chest out now on these are the games that we know we're going to play. And then June, you can have your big showcase, and then you can look ahead into the future and show me Avowed and Perfect Dark and all that stuff.
Yeah, like show us games like why we should be excited not only for the console but also for the servers like Xbox Game Pass, because the majority of those games are going to be there at day one. So show us that, games that already was announced, and show us dates so we could get all hype.
You were going to say something? Yeah, so you're saying all the games that they've announced, etc. And you have to think that all of these studio acquisitions that they've done over the last few years include titles that were already in development or early development, right? So what Xbox delivers in the next 12 to 18 months really needs to hit, right? Like, I get what you're saying, Paris, and for the most part, I do agree. The big hitters that we've known about for a solid time, you know, those need release dates. But what is Compulsion working on? What is In Exile, Machine Games, Rare, Roundhouse, Coalition, Initiative, etc.? Like, do we not want to know those now?
No, I don't think we need to know them now. I think you can wait till June to talk about that stuff. If these games aren't coming before the June showcase, then you don't need to talk about them now. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Talk about what's coming before June. Then in June, that's your platform to talk about, to your point, what Compulsion, In Exile, all these other studios are working on. That's your platform to now start showcasing their stuff. But give the spotlight right now to the games that they have promised are already coming before June. Because remember, that's what they said a year ago. These are the games you can expect before our next showcase. So start showing those games. Put release dates on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, should Xbox be quiet after this presentation until June, or have another one, but like a smaller type of stream, like Nintendo Direct or State of Play of about one game? Because there's going to be a lot of games coming out from now to the end of the year, Paris. So, like, I wonder, does that make sense? You know, I think either way, if they could hop us up now and wait until June, I think I'm fine with that too. They don't have to do content every single time. Because is that something that's going to work for Xbox? You know, for them to do that, you get what I'm saying? Because it works for State of Play. Because they've done that with, I think, was it Horizon, God of War. I know they did that with Harry Potter game. You know what I'm saying? So
my thing is this, and you know, Pete, I'm sure you can relate to this in your day job as well. I would rather under promise and over deliver. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to come out guns blazing and show you all this stuff. And in the moment of me showing you, I don't have a guarantee on the back end I can deliver all that when I say I'm going to deliver it. Right. So I would rather keep that stuff in the holster. Keep you guessing, keep you wondering about it. Man, I really want to see a Valve. Man, perfect art, you know, the Fable. You know, it's like I would rather keep you guessing about that while I'm delivering on the other things that I've already promised you, so that when I do get on the stage the next time, I can start showing these things off. And maybe I don't put a release date on them, obviously, you know, in a June showcase. But now I can at least start showing you these things, and I can... You've already gotten the other things I've promised you. So now you feel good about, damn, Xbox, you actually delivering on what the hell you said. Okay, good. Oh, damn, this was next? You gave me this and now I'm getting this? Yeah. Now I'm excited all over again. Instead of, you show me, again, I'm just examples. You show me Avowed now. You show me Perfect Dark now. Aren't you going to have to show it to me again in June anyways? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So
I mean, it worked for PlayStation. They did that before.
I'm not talking about PlayStation. I'm talking about Xbox. What they need to do. Stop bringing up PlayStation. Why? You know what? Why don't you go on PS I Love You XOXO? Greg Miller would love to have you.
Jesus Christ. Well, let them know to invite me. But no, for real. Like, not my job. No, but I'm bringing that up, Paris, because multiple companies have done that before. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm not a fan of it.
Hey, you know, but how about this? Just admit what I said. I'm right. And stop trying to, what about it? What about this? I'm right. Just do what I say. It's, how about that?
It's a conversation, punk. It's a conversation.
So I want to go back to the Hellblade 2 conversation for a quick moment, because that was announced, the first game came out 2017?
Yes.
And it was announced in 2019?
Yes.
For Hellblade 2. And then they paused because they wanted to switch up the engine. They wanted to go from Unreal 4 and they wanted to use Unreal 5. Mm-hmm. So now by the time, so from 19 to now is what, 4 years, 2023, potentially. Do you think that's enough time that the game should be released, provided
I just pay attention to social media. We know Aaron Greenberg and the marketing team went out there to go visit them. Cause that's why Aaron wasn't at the Game Awards. Cause that's where he was. So kind of just doing the math on what you're saying, timeline wise, if I had to bet some money, I would bet money that Hellblade 2 is scheduled to be their big holiday title. If I had to bet money, it just seems that this would be the year we get it. Cause let's not forget, the very first game that we saw for the Xbox Series X was Hellblade 2 in 2019 at the Game Awards. So, I mean, look, right, wrong, indifferent, it's been 4 years by that point. It seems right. It just seems right that even on Unreal 5 that they can finally deliver that game. So I'm pretty sure, again, I know absolutely nothing, but I'm pretty sure internally they would want that to be out this year. It would just make sense. What else are you waiting on? Let's put it this way. Forget Starfield and all that stuff at the beginning of the year. Realistically, of the things that we know about, what else would be realistic to come out this holiday for Xbox that we know about? Look, Fable's not. Perfect Dark's not. Maybe Avowed. Maybe. But Hellblade 2 seems more realistic to me of the ones that we know of, games that they've announced over the past few years. So, yeah, just in my opinion, simple math says it should be Hellblade 2.
And it's no slight on that title particularly, because I loved the first one, right? I remember distinctly going back and interviewing the developer at Ninja Theory for the first game, and I was super hyped about the game since then. Mm-hmm. But the question then is Senua's Saga a big enough title for that to be their tentpole holiday title?
If you go by, I swear to pandemic, I can't remember years anymore. So it would have been the 2021 Game Awards where they showed it.
Correct.
In Unreal 5. If they're going to that level of scope, I think it would be sufficient. I think because again, I don't know if you played it, beat the first Hellblade, but you know, it was smaller, more self-contained, but it was doing some very unique things with sound. At that time, like if anyone ever play, everyone recommends play with headphones because of just the audio cues that you get throughout that game. So if they can build upon that, now you have Unreal 5. Now you can make it this bigger, grander thing that you're doing. I think this could very well be a worthy AAA experience that you're getting that, yeah, can be your tentpole holiday game. Absolutely. Now, of course, you're going to supplement it with other things that go in there, but it would be very similar. Like, look, we know Spider-Man 2 is going to be a huge AAA system selling type experience for PlayStation 5 this holiday. Do I think Hellblade has the brand awareness that a Spider-Man does? Of course not. No. But I think you can. And again, this is why communication is critical. I think if you hold off showing Hellblade 2 until the June showcase, right? So you show it off at the June showcase. You have a big gameplay reveal for it. Put the release date on again, 11/12/2023 or something, right? Now, take the rest of the summer to talk more about Hellblade 2, have commercials for Hellblade 2, start showing it off. You know, look, I don't know. You get someone to host an event for it or something. I don't know. But then you start building up the brand awareness for Hellblade 2 to then it culminates that, all right, now it comes out in November and people are excited about it.
Mm-hmm. And all these games, and I know we haven't brought this up, we're going to go to the next topic, but this is the year where we're going to see just next-gen games for Xbox. Multiple games. And that's the reason why right before the awards, it was announced that all these games are going to be $70 now, right? So
yes.
I know that there was mixed reactions about it, but a lot of people, the majority, they weren't surprised about it. You know what I'm saying? But look, if you're a Game Pass subscriber, you don't have to worry about it at all. You know. But all right, now for the next topic, I'm going to play the interview here, Crime Boss Rocky City, and once we come back, very quickly, we're going to have a short fan mail. So let's play the interview. We'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737 GTR.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to check out the trailer. This is what? I'm the third person, right, you said?
Third person.
I feel special.
Yeah, man, you are special.
Yeah.
And so your Windbreaker is special, dude. That thing's sweet.
So tell us a little bit about the game, Crime Boss. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it depends on what you want to know.
Well, tell us a little about your character. That would be great.
I was surrounded by great talent, so my job wasn't that hard. you know, a lot of times you're not in control of that. motion pictures. You know, either they're going to cast or they're going to cast, and you got to live with it one way or another, unless you're a producer. But I thought it was a great bunch of people. I mean, you don't get surrounded by that kind of talent that often. Mm-hmm. And you're damn lucky if it happens. Who knows, you know, but it happened.
Mm. Yeah, two things that stood out to me while watching the trailer. One, Florida. I used to live in Miami. Mm-hmm. The Florida vibe. And,
yep.
And also 90s. I love the 90s.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man.
Pop, you know, like uh-huh. So it's pretty cool. So are we going to get like a lot of those type of vibes, like 90s music? I know there's a lot of talent.
Yes.
From the 90s.
Like yeah. Nikki, like Nikki Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knows exactly what they're
doing. Yeah. But tell us about that, like the 90s vibe.
Yeah, man. So it's set in a fictitious city in Florida called Rocky City in the 90s. And the journey of the game, basically the story of the game, is that Travis Baker, Mr. Madsen's character, comes to town to become the king, the crime king of Rocky City. To take over the pill trade, you know, ecstasy. He used to roll hard. He used to roll balls. Right?
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
Back then.
Right. So, you know, your quest in the game is to, it's a turf war game. So you take over parts and pieces of the city from the other crime bosses. So we've got Vanilla Ice is one of the, he plays a character called Yellow. We've got, you know, who else are the big rivals? We got the dragon, Danny Trejo. He's another rival. So you've got your own team, Miss Basinger, Mr. Rooker. Those are on, Travis Baker's team, on your team. And you get to play Travis Baker. You are Travis Baker in the game. So you go through these missions and, you know, every decision you make sends you off in a new trajectory. The game is like a spider web rather than being a linear playthrough like most games. It's every, just like life, every decision sends you on a new, in a new way.
And then with this, we have the AI is interactive. And so the AI will make certain decisions differently than it did before. So there's never going to be a simple, you're never going to have the same playthrough twice. Every time you play it, it's going to be different. Every time, you know, certain events move forward, move backwards, and it changes the way things go. And it's the whole, the journey of, you know, going through the town, learning its people, and becoming boss of the town with all of its insanity from, you know, you can think of everything that's insanity about Southern Florida in the 90s.
One question for you guys, for each, you want to answer differently, but like, what was like your favorite part about working on this project for you?
I had a gas, man. It was fun being in a booth. You wouldn't realize it, you know. I haven't done a lot of them. But not to this scale. I've done a few, of course, but I was always like the other guy or, you know, this or that. And I never was leading the parade. Mm. I never had that much dialogue to record ever for any game I've ever done.
No one has. We're in the
we're gonna be
in the Guinness Book of World Records for most lines of dialogue in a video game.
That's
for real. That's for real. That's cool. I interrupted you. Yeah.
No, it was cool.
Yeah. Like you were saying, it's never the same. So
right. So we have to have different.
So the dialogue is gonna be also similar. It's not gonna be the same.
There's so many different options for what your dialogue could be.
Dynamic.
Even for the same statement, like there's like options on the same exact statement mm-hmm. for dialogue. Like right. Just inflections and things like that, because we had multiple takes that were usable. Yeah. So there's like I said, when I say it can be a completely different game, you know, from playthrough to playthrough, that's, you know, and just being a part of that, I've been a part of a few games, being able to go from the inception to seeing what it became has been like the most fun and most exciting part.
I look forward to coming to work, you know. I mean, how many people can say that about any job in the world, right? I mean, good Lord, you got to love what you do at the end of the day. You might as well, you know, jump off a mountain. But, I mean, it was a privileged experience to me to be listened to in that way and to be able to bring my own little piece of this or that and to know that I was going to be supported in it. That doesn't happen like that all the time. It was it's such an interesting idea. I didn't know how big the gaming stuff was. I saw my boys, my sons, gamers, and I know that they like that very much. But to me, my generation didn't grow up with that. So it's a whole new world, you know?
Yeah, see, I grew up with like Atari and Nintendo back then, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but now it's like gaming has changed a lot, man. I'm glad to see a lot of the actors and people from the movie industry now being part of the gaming industry too, man, you know?
Yeah, so, man.
And the combination of both is going to be awesome too. But yeah.
And speaking of which, you know, bringing, you know, Mr. Mazza coming into the booth, Miss Basinger coming into the booth, worked really hard on the dialogue. I mean, on the level that I would write a screenplay, you know? So it's not, we're not putting the scenes secondary to the gameplay. We're putting it right up there next to it. This scene is as important as the mission you just played. You know, typically in video games, cutscenes, skip, you know, it's just a boring scene or whatever. That's not what we're doing here. But then we have the voice, the human voices of these profoundly talented people coming in and creating the character with us on the spot in the booth. So taking the template of what we've written and worked on and, you know, and ad-libbing on it, improvising on it. And that's when it really comes to life. And that's when it gets super exciting.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons why a lot of actors are coming towards video games is because it's really gotten to the point where we're telling stories as opposed to, you know, the storytelling on video games has gotten to the point where it's cinematic. Mm-hmm. It's no longer, you know, with like the scrolling gameplay. Or,
yeah.
You know, we've gotten to the point where we're really, like a lot of the story, like the story mythology for games has gotten some places more impressive than that is, than what you are, what's available for movies that you watch.
Right. Fully, you know, produced so, movie yeah. scenes, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's a genesis, I think, of a new thing, a new understanding of the expanse of a video game.
Mm-hmm.
For me especially, because I'm a motion picture guy. And I didn't think it would be that much fun in the beginning. But good Lord, I quickly realized, you know, the enormity of what I had around me. And I felt the responsibility. I got to do this, man. I got to do this right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's a great feeling to have.
Yeah.
And get up so in the morning.
Are you guys going to get together and play co-op?
Nope.
We'll watch
you. But watch said, no, watch man. Watch no. No, we're going to go watch the Buccaneers. Man. Yeah, I'd rather... Whoever saw Michael Rooker sing, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many, it's cool seeing so many people that I grew up from like the 90s being part of this, man. So
yeah.
How difficult was it to get, like, all the
things? Man, how you got to extend
it. Was one of those synchronicity things where it just kind of kept falling into place.
Right.
You know, there were like some ideas like, oh, we should reach out to this person. Well, yeah. And then it would happen. And, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, a lot of them are in different places in their careers now where they're
sure.
not necessarily as, you know, actively pursuing film. So something like this where you can still get the performance level but not have to be on set for 14 hours a day.
Yeah, or on camera for that message. Yeah. You know, go in and just use your voice. And then we have the metahuman technology to, you know, of how beautiful they look, you know, in the 90s based on how all the AI eats all those movies, all that information. And it figures out through speech graphics, which is one of the technologies we use, of how they use their face when they're talking and their emotions. I mean, it's pretty profound. You saw in the trailer, they're lip sync, they're talking the words of the song. You know,
yeah, that was all AI.
Yeah,
we didn't lip sync.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
AI,
we.
I thought it was,
no, the no, AI I mean, did that.
The AI. We had to work hard to do it, but but it was that's all. It takes all that information. It watches all his movies, every appearance he's done, and that figures out how he moves his face. You know,
I never realized I looked that good in the 90s.
We got
to go back in time and I'll do it again. Now that I know how handsome I am.
Yeah, he improvises a line in the booth. He says, you know what happens when people call me handsome. You know, like, and so, and then he's in a scene with Michael Rooker. Michael Rooker hears that in the booth, and he improvises the line, "Boy, you ain't been that in a long time."
Did he say that?
He said it, man.
Mother.
I know, we gotta get
I'm gonna kick his ass. Now, I wanna smack him.
So I'm gonna be at the awards. I'm gonna be sitting down, and like, I can't wait to
feel the crowd.
Yeah, to see the crowd, like their reaction.
Yeah.
Because I know you guys have been, you know, working this for a while now.
Yeah.
How's that feeling right now? Right before showing the trailer.
I mean, Rooker got fired just now.
So
it feels okay.
We don't have to worry about anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's over, Mike. So we're cool.
That's a wrap on Mr. Rooker.
Hey, let's yell it. Good night, Mike.
No, it's exciting, man. You know.
Keep on your beard.
Yeah.
I love Michael.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
worked with Michael before.
Yeah.
I did a scene with Michael in the movie, a cop thing that we did years ago.
Sure.
And he had to be a cop. He's my partner. And he gets kidnapped by the bad guy in the movie. and they have him tied up. And I get brought in the room by the bad guys. And they're trying to figure out if I recognize Mike. And if I do recognize him, or he recognizes me, he's going to get it. And me and him both know that. And we know that we can't show the fact that we know each other. Because the bad guys are looking at us, right? And Michael was so spot on with that scene. I'll never forget that. It was like, it was special. Michael's a big talent. Mm. And he was so believable in that moment. Jeez, I still was like, it got really emotional because I didn't want him to be killed by the bad fellows. And he was fighting really hard not to show that he knew who I was. We knew each other. That's little movie moment stuff that you don't imagine that can get created in a game. Mm. But I think it has.
Yeah.
I think we did do that.
And they bring that into the booth and put it in the microphone, and then we're able to take that, the audio of it, the human voice, and put the meta-human to it, the speech graphics technology, and the emotion in the face, whatever. But it all starts with the voice. It all starts with their ability to tell their story and relay things and also hide things. What's not said, I mean, that's the real talent. That's the real skill starts with.
Just being in a place where, we're about to see everybody else realizing and seeing our vision, and hearing the reaction. I can't wait to sit there. Well, we're going to be on stage.
Yeah, right?
Gonna sit in the crowd. We're just being able to watch people just experience and, you put blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
And you put together, you're a part of a team, and you're hoping that everybody in the team's got the same vision that you do, or at least that you guys are in a space where some sort of it gets realized. And you see something like this, and you're like,
it got me excited to actually play the game. Like, now I want to know more about it ever since I got to see.
Oh, that's cool, man.
And on purpose, I know the team sent me some assets, to check out everything about the game. I'm like, I want to see the trailer.
Oh,
my God, you guys showed me the trailer.
Good man, good man.
Wait till they merchandise it. There's gonna be some cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, what else, man? Just that. I'm very excited to play this game. So, when is the actual? You guys have a release date?
Yes, yeah, March 29th.
March 28th.
March 28th.
2023. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's gonna be wild, man.
Yeah, early man.
This year, man. No, but I just want to say.
It's March.
Thanks, man.
I can't wait to see this. Once comes
out. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man. We appreciate you.
No problem, man.
All right. Thank you, man.
Cool.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. So, Pete, I know you have the audio, right?
Yes,
all right,
sir.
So let's do this. The first fan mail of the year.
Cool.
All right, here goes. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? How are you brothers doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just wanted to ask you guys, with it being the season, the holiday season, I was curious to know, Danny, Paris, and Pete, what was your favorite, I'll say, video game Christmas, from when you were a kid? Because for me, I remember when the Nintendo Entertainment System came out and my neighbor had it across the street. I had never seen anything like Super Mario Brothers or Kung Fu. I asked for it, and my parents got it for me, and they got it for me with the power pad and the zapper. So I was going ballistic around the Christmas tree. But I was just curious to know, what was one of your favorite, Christmas moments when it came to gaming? As always, guys, thank y'all for everything that you do. It is greatly appreciated. And with that being said, you guys have a great one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Keon. Appreciate it. Always love when you send in your messages. And thanks again for always supporting the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Shout out to him, man.
God, I have so many. It's hard. I'm going to say, I can't even remember the name or the year. I want to say the first one was probably when I got the Intellivision, right? That was the first time that I got my own dedicated gaming system, Pickaxe Pete. and a host of other titles. You know, I had always gone to my little, you know, to my cousin's house, and he always had like the ColecoVision or the Nintendo, but me getting the Intellivision, a different gaming system, right? It's not the same. But it was my first gaming system. So I loved that one. And then the one after that would have to be when Earthworm Jim got released for...
Ooh, classic. Classic.
I think it was the Sega Genesis. And it was... Mm-hmm. That one was one of those games that it was like... It wasn't the one that I got to sneak out and open up, you know, while my parents were asleep and play, but it was the one that I got, and I was just like, wow, this game is different. This game is exciting. This game is a lot of fun. So I think those two would be, there's another one there, but I don't want to steal shine from others in case it overlaps with theirs. So I'll stay with
that's
those.
All
two.
Good. Yeah. For me, thanks to my grandmother, she bought me the Atari 2600, and it came, she also bought me, Defenders and Pac-Man. So those were like my two first games that I played for the Atari 2600. Now, my grandmother doesn't know at that time, didn't know anything about games, about video games. And the story that I heard recently, actually last month I heard about this for the first time. The reason why she bought the console for me was because my cousins got it from their parents, and I was the only kid with no video game console. And she was like, no, I got to buy something for Danny for Christmas. So all the kids have a console at home. So that's how she got. Plus, at that time, I think Atari was going out of business. So they were selling the console for like $50 or something like that. Super cheap. Right before the release of the NES that came here in 1985. The States. So that was my moment for me when I got my console for the first time. So how about you, Paris?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about it before. Christmas 1985, that was my Red Ryder BB gun moment, because I got the Nintendo Entertainment System. Had no idea I was getting it. Wasn't even asking for it. And my mom got it for me for Christmas. It was truly, as I sit here as an old man now, the greatest Christmas gift I ever got in my life. It really is to this day. I'll never forget that moment of opening it up and seeing it. And it was the deluxe set that had Rob the Robot, Gyromite, and Duck Hunt. And my cousin came over and we played all night. Played that. And then that, it was just obviously my gateway into everything, you know, with Nintendo. Eventually got Super Mario Brothers, and just away we went from there. But yeah, for sure, Christmas 85, man. Like I, you know, I told you offline, I still don't know what prompted my mother to get me the Nintendo, because like I said, I wasn't asking for it. It was, you know, right back then, it was very brand new. It wasn't like, oh, this is the must-have gift of the Christmas season. Every kid was screaming for it. I mean, my mom obviously knew I was into gaming, because like I said, I had a Vectrex for sure at the time. I may have still had the 2600. But why she got it for me, to this day, I don't know. I just don't know. I would love to know what the thought process was behind that. But that was the thing that cemented me as a gamer. I'm probably not here right now talking if it wasn't for that moment in time.
And it wasn't cheap back then. Brand new NES console.
Actually, I think it wasn't. Well, I mean, obviously, we're talking 1980s prices, but I almost feel like the NES was $199 back then.
Oh, so it was the games. The games were expensive, not the console. Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay, yeah, because back then the games were $70, $80. I remember even paying $90 back then for a game.
I just looked it up. It was $149.99.
Bad. Yeah. You know what? I remember walking in New York City with my parents, and there was a store that had the NES, the bundle, and I looked at it, and I looked at my mom like, can I get it? And she looked at me, and she goes, no. I was like,
and like I said, I had the deluxe one. I just looked that up. So the deluxe set was $179.99. It included Rob the Robot, a light gun, the NES Zapper, two controllers, and two game packs, Gyromite, Duck Hunt, because that was the one I got. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So nice. If you think about it, look, I get it translating, because they said right now that'd be the equivalent of $490. And this was 2021, the article I picked up. So, I mean, in those terms, it definitely was not cheap. And like I said, I don't know why the hell my mom got it. I still don't know. I really wish I would know. But yeah, that was the moment for me, man.
Yo, I remember getting the NES, and I'm like, oh, let me call the hotline to get some tips.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that. So, but it's funny, because when you start talking to them, when you call the hotline, dude, they want to keep you there for a long time. Cause I think the first 2-3 minutes was free. And after that, they will charge you for every minute. So yeah, Nintendo Power too. Woo, that was a big one back then.
So I won't say his name, but someone I know at Xbox today used to, his first job was working those 1-900 lines. Yeah, at Nintendo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was telling me the story. That's yeah, that's that how he broke in. He worked at Nintendo doing that. Yep.
Yeah. Because this is also was in Seattle. It was in Seattle mm-hmm. at that time too. Yeah, that's dope. Anything else, Pete? From that, that's it.
Good. That's it.
All right. All right, cool. All right, everyone. We want to say thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, the first episode of Gamer Tag Radio here of this year, man. And again, thank you for all the support. Make sure to spread the word about this show. And thank you also for watching here on Twitch, for those that are watching live, man. So head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio. You could post a review. And actually, one of the reviews, I think the latest one that I got, that I read a couple of days ago, they were saying that Paris was too mean to me. And I agree. Paris, you're really mean to me. So,
hey, if only this person could see the things that you say to me privately, then they'll know. That's right. You're damn right I'm mean. Because he's mean too.
The day this group chat goes public.
Oh my God, we're done.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So done. Canceled.
But you know what, though? You know what, though? Along those lines, and I think we talked about this before, but like, like when you and I were just at the Game Awards, the thing that I cherish and love the most is people seeing you and I interacting again. And we miss you, Pete, but to see Danny and I interacting together in person and going, damn, y'all just like this in real life too. I was like, is like the ultimate compliment. You know,
Twitter is just a microcosm of the actual relationship. It's all it is.
And we keep it clean. Man.
Y'all don't know.
I remember the first time I said something like that at one of our private chats. Yo, you guys were in shock. You're like, what? Is he for real? Oh my God. Amazing. So yeah, follow us, post a review. If you think you know, this is a great show, hey, support us, give us 5 stars. That will help us out a lot, man. So
Can I say one other thing before we go? This is at Pete. Do you know what like today is? Like the significance of today is? I bet you don't, Pete, because I do.
This is the day I called you on a Saturday at 2:30.
No, it's not. No?
Oh wait, or is it the Call of Duty in LA?
Nope. Nope.
All right, then I don't know.
The 8th, January 8th,
15 years ago. You and I met for the first time at CES in Las Vegas.
I
was looking at pictures. All right, so where were we in the group in our Twitter group chat? We were talking, and I posted that picture of my son because my son is doing the whole LFW work thing. And I was looking through old pictures, and there's a picture of the three of us in the lobby of the New York, all talking. It was four of us or five of us, I think. It's me, because
Paladino was there.
I looked at it, I was just like, I'll save this one for later. But I mean, that's right, because that was the times of CES when I used to go.
CES. And there's a video that's on YouTube, and I don't know whose channel it's on, where Xbox, because it's Major Nelson, basically had like a meetup at In-N-Out in Las Vegas. And we're on video
the exclusive video.
Hey, look, even though this son of a gun ain't even there, he's still everybody talking about freaking Danny with the damn exclusive. And we're all saying exclusive. Yeah.
So I walked around with that video camera taking those little, like, hey, look, I don't even know you. We're in an in and out, but can you just say like exclusive? It's just you and your kids. I don't care. Just group of kids. Hey, can y'all just say exclusive on the count of three? Done. And I just, that was hilarious. Yeah. That was so
and,
much fun.
And if you watch that video, I was a little thicker back then.
A little thick with three C's.
Damn, I didn't know it was that long. Oh my God. I forgot about it.
Wow. I gotta find that video. We'll repost that video for sure.
This is the time where Microsoft were having press conferences at CES.
Mm-hmm.
That was GamerScore blog. Was that the year I got kicked out of the booth because I posted about the Red Ring of Death?
Oh my God.
On their show floor.
It was that. Pete, it was that. You got kicked out.
Yep.
I remember. So
I didn't get kicked out. I was told I couldn't come back to the Xbox show floor that day. I had to come back the next day.
What was I guess he was an Xbox executive, I guess. Jeff, God, what was his name?
Oh, he was, Bell.
Jeff Bell, yes.
Jeff Bell.
I don't know if you remember, Pete. I'm pretty sure you were there. We were on the bus that they had, and there may or may not have been some alcoholic beverages. And he was partaking. I'll leave it at that.
I'll tell you this. It was 2007. Which one was a party E3 outside and it had a Call of Duty? Was that 2007 in Santa Monica or 2000?
Yeah, that was Santa Monica.
So again, free drinks and everything. I was recording. I had a video camera and I was recording an interview with somebody. I think it was from Joystick or Xbox Fanboy back then. Doesn't exist anymore. But Jeff Bell came out of nowhere and gave us a spoiler of Harry Potter and walked away. I was like, hey, what the heck? I think it was like book four or something like that that time. So, yeah, shout out to Jeff. He was super cool. Cool guy. All right, we're going to wrap it up, guys. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.